What a thrill it is to be back in the north again. I was born up north where the robins sing and there's not a blur between the seasons. If you're from the south and you've never been from the north, you don't know what you missed. I got up this morning and I said, you know, I believe this reminds me of spring. I haven't seen spring in a few years. They have it down south, but I don't know what they call it. I think they call it the Nats holiday or something. I don't know. But what a pleasure it was to wake up in spring weather this morning and to be with you. Take your Bibles, would you please, and turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, as we prepare our hearts and think about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're reminded of how much God loves us. Certainly, there could be no greater love than anyone to give his only begotten Son, die on the cross of Calvary for our sin. For God so loved the world, and that measure of love was measured in that he gave his only begotten Son. But I want to ask you a question today. It's not the title of a sermon or anything like that, but I'd like to ask you a question today that you might rhetorically ask yourself. And that is not how much does God love you, that's undeterminable and unconditional, but you might ask yourself this question: how much do you love God? How much do you and I love God? In John 21 and verses 1 through 15, the first part, we have an account which is a very significant account in the Bible. It is a time in which the Lord describes in his word the commissioning of Peter. Peter's about to be sent out, and he's being commissioned. Boy, what a great missions sermon this is. But it is more about the personality of the Lord Jesus and about the requirements that I believe God has hidden, if you will, in the Word. And the Holy Spirit of God several years ago revealed to me something that to me just blessed my soul about this particular passage. Now, I want to take a few minutes today and share it with you, and I trust it will be a blessing to you as well. In John chapter 21 and verse 1, we read these words: "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and a fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now let's stop right there for a minute. We could continue on with the other part of the passage where he asked him again and again and again, Do you love me? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. But we're not going to focus on that. I draw your attention to one word in verse 15 at the very end, and that is the word these. And Jesus asked Simon Peter, Lovest thou me more than these? Now that caught my attention, because I looked at that and I thought, I wonder what Jesus is referring to. The word these is a demonstrative word which refers to something. I would say, now these students over here are godly and these students over here are not. Can you say amen to that, high school students? No, you can't. All right, must be I had it the other way around. Anyway, these refers to something. And so I began to go back and I said, you know, there must be something in this. Jesus is talking to Peter here. And he's referring to these things. Now, what are these things? I said, well, what do we got here? We have, according to the Word of God, we have a boat. And it's on the shore. We have a net. We have fish. We have disciples. We have Jesus. We have a fire. And we have fish that are cooked on the fire. And that's all that the Scripture tells us that are there. And I don't believe there's anything insignificant in the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit says, you know, when Jesus made a contrast, all the other times he says, lovest thou me? But in this particular case, the very first case, he says, lovest thou me more than these? And I begin to think about that and pray about that and say, Holy Spirit of God, there must be something in that that is very significant, because this is a very significant passage in the Bible. What is more, the more you think about Peter, the more you understand that Peter was a very significant person. Now, Peter is much maligned in the Scripture, and many times preachers will get on his case. And you know, sometimes they paint the image of Peter, that Peter is the kind of a man that's kind of like out of control. You ever hear anybody preach that way? Now, Peter was one of those guys that all you did was just say something to him, and man, he was off the handle. I mean, he was out of control. He was one of those guys that just was just right on a hair trigger edge of emotion all the time. I don't really think that was true about Peter all of the time. But you know, Peter was the one that said when God came to him at the very beginning, Jesus called him and said, follow me. He was the one that said, oh Lord, I depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Now that tells you something about Peter. He really wasn't necessarily what some people would paint him to be. He was the one who said, while others cowered in fear at the vision of Jesus out there on the water, he was the one who said, Lord, bid me come. And then when Jesus said, come on, he's the one that walked on the water. Now we can look at that and say, boy, what a miracle. God did that. But wait just a minute, folks. It takes something to step out on the water. Amen? I mean, people don't do that normally, do they? If you said to me, hey, step out here, I'd say, now wait a minute. There's a little air there and too much gravity on me. Peter stepped out on the water. Now think about the personality of this person, and think about this. When everybody else is scared, thinking Jesus to be a spirit, not knowing what it is, he's the one that says, Lord, bid me to come. And at the simple command of Jesus, or not even a command, an invitation of Jesus, he defies everything that mankind knows to be reasonable, and by faith he steps out and walks on the water. And we always talk about the fact that he sank, but he did walk for a while. He was the one who said, referring to Jesus, when Jesus asked the people, who do men say that I am? And they answered, and he said, who do you say that I am? He was the one that blurted out, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, oh, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto thee. That was Peter. This same guy now that we're talking about the recommissioning. He was the one at the transfiguration and said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's make a tabernacle for Elias and for Moses and for you. It's good for us to be here. That was Peter. It was Peter at the Last Supper when Jesus came to wash their feet, said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. Never, Lord. He wasn't being rebellious there. I believe he understood Jesus was God, and he thought, this is not right for God to be washing my feet. Sure, he didn't get the point, but when Jesus said, hey, I'll wash your feet, you'll have no part with me, he said, okay, Lord, take it all from the head to the foot. That was Peter. Think about the personality behind this man. He told Jesus, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And at Gethsemane, even though Jesus invited the three of them to go beyond the others and pray with him for 1 hour, it was that same Peter that slept along with the others. And yet when the Roman guard came with the high priest in Gethsemane and the betrayer was with them to betray Jesus, in the face of all that adversity, it was Peter, not the others, who drew his sword and took the ear of Malchus off. The Bible records that all of the disciples fled, but it was Peter, even though he's much maligned for his denial and all of the ways that he followed the Lord. Listen, he at least did that, didn't he? He followed him afar off, and it was, in fact, Peter who did deny the Lord, as Jesus prophesied that he would. Now, that's the man we're talking about. A man with emotion, a man who was real, a man who was flesh and blood, but he loved God. He was a man of intensity. He was a man of emotion. So much today, young people and college students and brothers and sisters, so much today, we see people walking around with this Christian glaze on their face. I mean, they don't feel anything. They could sit on attack and it'd be 3 minutes before the message would get to their brain. There just isn't no fire there. There's no feeling. It's not like, hey, Jesus died. Nobody cries anymore. Nobody gets upset and indignant when reproach is brought to the name of Christ anymore. Nobody even cares when men and women of God fall away. They just glaze it over because it's all religion and there's no real deep relationship. But Peter wasn't one of those guys. And I might add, God went looking after 3.5 years of walking with all these men. It was Peter that God was going to use as the head of the church in Jerusalem. It was Peter that God was going to send out at the start. Remember, before there was a Paul that we so much exalt and say, oh, the Apostle Paul. Before there was a Paul, there was a Peter. Amen. It was Peter at the beginning that was the one that was preaching those scathing sermons. It was Peter who stood at the beginning. It was Peter who founded and was used of God in those early days of the church. That same one that denied did all those wonderful, powerful things under the influence and empowering of the Holy Spirit of God. But this is very transitional, because here we are now, and Peter is the one who said all those things I said, but Peter's also the one who said this, I go a-fishing. Now think for a minute, if you were Peter, you had felt deeply for Jesus. You had wanted to do something great for him. You had great envisioning that you were going to be with Jesus, and all of a sudden the Lord has died and risen and he is going to go back to glory, and here you are, and boy, what a failure Peter must have felt like. I'm sure he felt just the same. He felt that same humiliation personally, and that same uselessness personally, and that same sense of why and how could God ever use me after what I've done? You may be in a situation like that where you realize you could have and should have been used by God while you were here in this college, while you were in school. But instead, you've been just bumping along from year to year. How many seniors do we have over here in the high school? Do we have any seniors here? Raise your hand if you're a senior, if this is your senior year. How about college students? I know one that's a senior. Okay, now look at you guys and girls with your hands up. Listen a minute. This is Peter's senior year. He's getting ready to get commissioned. God's been looking at his life for 3.5 years. Yes, he was a good student. He didn't need 4. He's been looking at his life for 3.5 years, and now God's going to commission him to go out. And God, I believe in the Word, said, lovest thou me more than these, because the things that Peter needed to leave behind did not have anything to do with his wanting to serve God, his desire to serve God, and his faithfulness and all of that. It had nothing to do with those things which were displayed over the time. God was looking beyond Peter's exterior at the interior heart of Peter, and I believe he saw some things, and that's what he was referring to when he used the examples when he said, lovest thou me more than these. I want to show you those three things this morning, and when you see them, I believe you may identify with them also. What could he be talking about? He said, lovest thou me more than these? By the way, we won't go back and read it, but boy, you ought to do it. It'll bless your heart. In Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, you'll find at the very beginning, when God was working on calling Peter, guess what he did? Jesus came up, there was a boat there, and there was nobody in it, and Jesus got in the boat and preached. And Peter, if you remember the story, that it talks about them being on the Lake Genesaret, and there's Peter, and he says, Peter, take that boat and go out there. And Peter said, it won't do me any good. We've been fishing all night. Get the parallel? We've been fishing all night. He said, go ahead and go out anyway and throw the net out. And he did, and whoa, he got a humongous catch. And that's when Peter bowed down at the knees of Jesus and said, oh, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Depart from me. And that's when God called him and said, follow me. Now here's Jesus coming back to Peter. It's time to send him out again. And what does he do? He comes to him when they're on the boat and they're not catching anything. And Jesus says, throw the net out. And they get a big catch. And guess what? All of a sudden, nobody else gets the message, but Peter does. Hey, this is all for Peter and for you and me. And after they ate, he said, lovest thou me more than these? Now, what could he be referring to? Well, he might have been referring to the boat and the nets and the other tools of a fisherman. You know that Peter's identity was that of a fisherman. We have an identity. People watch us and we identify with something. And Peter's identity was held or focused on the fact that he was a fisherman. When all of the religious stuff passed, when all of the relationship with Jesus seemed to have fallen apart and then deteriorated because he denied the Lord, what did he come back to? He came back to the identity he once had. We would call it today the old man, the old identity that we have. And I'm telling you today that if you're going to be recommissioned for Jesus, if you're going to be sent out to do something significant for Jesus, you better understand today that as you are being born again and made new by the Holy Ghost of God that has begun to work in you and will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, that Holy Spirit of God will prompt you to go on and be like Jesus Christ, but there's going to be times when you fail God. And when you do, the very first natural inclination you'll have is to go back into the identity of what you once were. There's people that used to sell insurance, and then they got called of God to preach, and they tried, and they failed, and it didn't look like it was going to work out. And just 2 weeks later, they're back selling insurance. Their identity is linked with their success, with what they did, what they feel comfortable with, and what other people see them as. And I say to you today that Jesus said to Peter, Peter, lovest thou me more than your identity? Do you love me, Peter, enough that you can identify with Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and risen? Do you love me enough to leave Peter behind and die to self and live identifying and being identified with Jesus Christ? Do you love me more than these? But then again, he might not have been talking about the boats and nets. He might have been saying something about the fish. There were plenty of fish there. Not only that, but there were some fish that Jesus had on the coals and some bread and all of those things. And you know what? I believe that that represented independence. Not identity, but independence. You see, if a man is a fisherman, then fish is his livelihood. That's his sense and source of provision. It's a means for him to provide for himself so he doesn't have to depend upon God. And I believe that Peter was the kind of a person that didn't collect welfare checks. He was the kind of guy that went out, rolled up his sleeves, and got the job done. He was an independent, hardworking, get out there and get the job done. Why, if Peter walked into Fairhaven Baptist College, they'd say, man, we want this guy. He's going to get the job done. He's going to take a stand. He's a self-motivated person. We don't have to say to him, well, now, would you consider helping us on the bus route this weekend? Just want you to consider and pray about it if you would. No, Peter'd see the need and say, hey, there's work to be done. He was a leader, but he was independent. I believe God, although God saw him used all those years with that independence and that straightforwardness and that desire to work, I believe God now is ready to commission him, and God is saying, hey, you better not be dependent upon Peter. The battle is the Lord's. You've got to be dependent upon me, Jesus said. Do you love me, Peter, more than your independence? Are you willing to give up those things that make you somebody? Are you willing to lose yourself in Jesus Christ, identifying with him and depending completely upon him, instead of getting out in the ministry, in the pastorate, or on the mission field, or in the Christian education field, or serving the Lord in any other way in your life? Are you willing to give it all to the Lord Jesus rather than go out there and figure it out yourself and do it to your glory instead of God's glory? Jesus said, Peter, if you go into Jerusalem and are used of God to start that church, it's going to be God's church, not Peter's church. That's what's wrong, among many other things, with the Catholic viewpoint. It's not Peter's church. It's Christ's church. And it's not your life, it's Christ's life. The Apostle Paul understood that. He said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He understood that it wasn't Paul, it was Jesus. And if you're going to be commissioned to do great things for God, If God's going to rise you up to be used of God in a mighty way and to lead others, you not only have to leave behind your image or your identity, but you've got to leave behind your independence. There comes a time when that which Peter could do because he was powerful, what Peter could do because he had abilities in and of himself, because he was strong physically or quick mentally or given gifts and talents that enable him to do it, Peter had to understand that it had to be the power of God. We have people in this room today that could talk an Eskimo out of his igloo. You got persuasiveness. But my friend, when you go to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, your persuasiveness will never save a single soul. It takes the power and the fire of Almighty God to do that. You better understand, when you go to work for God, when you live for God, when you stand for God in marriage and in home and in your lives and in the church and in your ministry, that Almighty God is to have the preeminence in all things. I believe that Jesus was talking to Peter and explaining to Peter in the spirit realm when he said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Peter, I know that you identify with these tools. That's why they call you the fisherman. But you're going to have to identify with me, Jesus said. If you're going to serve me, you're going to have to love me more than these things. I believe he looked at Peter and he saw that wonderful man who had such raw talent and ability. And he said, "Oh, boy, how I can use this man. If only he'll yield himself to me and let me use him." Listen, if you've got talent here today and you don't give that talent to the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave it to you. If you don't give it back to him and let him use it as he sees fit, where he sees fit, when he sees fit, you'll be in the flesh and the glory will be yours and not God's, and you'll never go anywhere for Jesus Christ. But more than that, it may not have been the boat. It may not have been the net. It may not have been the fish, because you see, also standing there were the disciples. Peter had to love the Lord Jesus more than his image. You see, identity is how you see yourself, and image is how others see you. And all Peter had to say was, "I go a-fishing." And the scripture records, they said, "We go also with thee." He was a leader. And everybody knew he was a leader. And you know what? Today, leaders come cheap. Today, because of peer pressure and all kinds of worldliness and fleshliness in the Christian community, a leader is not necessarily godly. A leader simply is one who has captured the minds of others. And people will follow men that are not even under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They will follow in idolatry because they have been trained to follow, told to follow. And because there's such a lack of character in the individual Christian today, that they must live their lives vicariously through the lives of others that they perceive to be successful. Do you understand me? Instead of searching out and saying, "I want Almighty God to work through my life and do a new work, I am afraid that I can't do it." Hey, you can't do it, but you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. But there's such fear there. In all of life, there's two kinds of people. There are pioneers and there are settlers. Someone said, "How do you tell them apart?" Well, the pioneers are the ones with the arrows stuck in their back. Somebody has got to say, "I'm going to go where nobody's ever gone. I'm going to do what nobody's ever done. I'm going to do what it seems to be impossible. I'm going to see he who is invisible." I believe with all my heart, only those who can see the invisible can do the impossible. God wants to use you in a unique way. He made you. He called you. He knew you were going to be where you're sitting from the dawn of time. Before you were conceived, he knew you. And he has a will for you.
And that will is not that you follow someone else and live your life through them, but that you follow him and let him live his life through you. Then and then alone is the power of God seen. And Jesus, I believe, said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me more than your image? Do you love me more than the fact that all you do is say, 'I'm going fishing,' and everybody follows you?" Some of you have distinguished yourself and do distinguish yourself in the realm that you're in. Some of you are distinguished ball players. Some of you are distinguished musicians. Some of you are distinguished academians. And you are good at what you do. Are you willing to lay down the fame and fortune and that sense of self-worth that you have that is vested in your abilities? Are you willing to lay that down and become a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to say with John the Baptist, "He must increase and I must decrease"? Are you willing to live out the way that Jesus said, that the first will be last and the last will be first? Are you willing to be a reality to others that if any man would among you be great, that he would be a servant? Are you willing to lay down that image and let God shine forth from your life? Because that's what it's going to take to be commissioned for the kind of work that Peter was called to do. We have a world that is crying out for Christians to live and look and act and serve humanity as servants of the living God. And yet, no matter what you get in this place, and you get a lot in this place, if you're not thankful for that, you need to get on your knees and repent and be thankful. But everything that these dear men and that this church and everything else has ever done for you and your parents and you yourselves, hard working to get the job done, it will all be for naught, because there were many disciples there, but it was Peter who was called and said, "Go," and commissioned to do the great work. It was Peter. God took all of the great things that Peter had, all of his personality that was sometimes up, sometimes down, and varied. And God said, "In your heart of hearts, you've got to give up your identity with yourself. You've got to give up your independence to depend on yourself. And you've got to get rid of this image and simply humble yourselves." Because before honor is humility. Peter, if you're going to be mine, if I'm going to commission you, you're going to have to love me more than these things. And so I challenge you today with this. I challenge you with this thought. Are you willing to deal with God about these things? If I were to say, raise your hand if you'd like to be used of God to do something great, probably the first thought that would come into your mind is a great church or a great mission work or something else. I talked to Brother Barker last night for a few minutes, and he was talking to me a little bit about his scripture memorization work and what he wants to do. And I know right now that there are some, perhaps even some of you, that would look at that and say, "Well, you know, I mean, it's good, but you understand that God sees what we don't see. God knows the needs of the hearts of people, and he simply singles folks out who are willing to say, 'Hey, I don't want to become a preacher so that I can become some sort of a big shot. I don't want to become an evangelist so that I can do something and have everybody know my name.'" Some of the greatest work that's done in America is done by moms and dads at home. Because if moms and dads at home did not love God and care about God, you wouldn't be here. You'd be in some secular school sucking up the beer blast drippings from the cesspool of sin. You'd be focusing your life on money and materialism instead of the Lord Jesus Christ and serving him. May I remind you of something? In one turn of the crank, some of you already are, but some of you shall be the parents of tomorrow. And will there be a generation that will arise from your loins that will know not the Lord God? Jesus wants a significant thing, but there's going to have to be some of you today that are going to have to say absolutely, unquestionably, "I'm willing to identify with Christ. That means that where Jesus walks, I'm willing to walk. What Jesus said, I'm willing to say amen to. And where Jesus leads, I will follow. And what Jesus commands, I will, by the grace of God, obey. It's going to take that kind of commitment. This is not the Stone Age. Sin is rampant. Things have developed in the last 10 years that Sodom and Gomorrah would shudder at. You and I serve in that generation. We walk in that cesspool. The God of this world is flying high, but Jesus is risen, and greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. But we must stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. We must identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. We must crucify the flesh and the independence that we seek. It's a sad thing when I hear missionaries say, well, I'd like to go to the mission field, but you know, we've been thinking about it, and I really need 3 bedrooms and air conditioning, and we looked at a place to stay, but it didn't have a microwave, so we're praying for another field. A lady I know years ago when I was in school at Pensacola was a missionary, and she used to sell Mary Kay cosmetics. She was a beautiful woman by God's standards, but she got caught up in that makeup business. Say, are you against makeup? No, I'm against glorifying self over God. It's the inward adorning is what God's after. She got caught up in that, and they were called to the mission field in Laos, which is over in Indonesia area. They were called there, and the men over there said, hey, in our country, if a woman wears makeup like that, she is a harlot. You can't wear that makeup over there. And this woman said in front of the whole church, I need to go over there, and one of my purposes for going is to enlighten those women at the fact that makeup is not that important and it won't damn their souls and it won't make them a harlot. I'm going to go over there. And she didn't read her Bible because the Apostle Paul said, don't let your liberty become a stumbling block to somebody else. She didn't know her Bible. And they raised $5,000 when $5,000 was like $10,000 to go to the mission field. And they were there 4.5 weeks and came home in disgrace. And the man went back to selling securities. He went fishing. And to this day, they're not on the mission field. Now, you could say, well, they never should have been. And you're probably right. But the truth of the matter is she had her independence and her image. And she had her identity. And she was not willing to subject that and submit that to the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how many of you here today, boys and girls in your mind as to where you're going, and Christian servants in this college, I wonder how many of you today have a little mental construct of what you're going to do to build your empire for God. I wonder how many of you are walking around looking at yourself in the mirror, thinking about how good you are, saying, boy, I'll tell you what, God's really, really fortunate to have me. I never said that. No, not to us. But remember, man looks on the outside, God looks on the heart. How many of us have said that in our heart? How many have said in pride, well, I'll tell you what, I'm from Fairhaven. Say, is there something wrong with that? Yes. Because Fairhaven is a wonderful place on all the earth, but it is not God. And if Fairhaven Baptist Church and Fairhaven Baptist College becomes your God, you'll be useless in the cause of Christ. He has to have the preeminence in all things. Well, Jesus wants to commission you. Matter of fact, He already has commissioned us, hasn't He? He's given us the Great Commission. But maybe Jesus came to you on the shores of your heart this morning and pointed out to you the fact that if you want to fulfill that Great Commission, you're going to have to love Jesus more than your identity. You're going to have to love Jesus more than your independence. You're going to have to love Jesus more than your image. How would you answer the question this morning? Lovest thou me more than these? Would you bow your head for prayer? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I ask you a simple question this morning. How many would say, God spoke to my heart? There's some change that's needed in my life. Preacher, pray for me that I'll get it done by the power of God. Would you lift your hand all over the house? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Don't raise it up for me. I don't know your name. I know my son's name and a couple of others, but you'll not impress me. Anyone else? There's some change needed in my life. I believe I need to refocus some things. I want to be mightily used of God, but I've got to change some things. I can see that now. Would you lift your hand right where you are? Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Now listen, if you had your hand up this morning, I want you to know that God loves you. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. He wants to work in your life, and if you'll go to Him and repent and say, God, help me to go a new direction, He will. I pray to God that you will. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you now for your word. I pray you'd bless the decisions of the heart that had just been made. I pray, dear God, you'd help them to follow up on it, that mighty servants of the Lord, completely humble before God, mightily used by the power of God, would serve this world in these final days, and that some of that service would come from this service. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Now bless, I pray, our hearts and lives, that we might truly identify and love you more than these. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.